I hope you brought your Bibles with you this morning. If you did, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And I do hope you brought your Bibles this morning. It is the most powerful force. God's Word is the most powerful force in the universe. Ephesians chapter 6. If you were in enemy territory, would you be concerned? Would you want some type of protection for yourself, your family? If you knew that you were in enemy territory and that you were going to face battle, would you want some armor for protection? I would. I would want as much armor as I could possibly put on. I would want some armor. As Christians, as believers, we live in enemy territory. Every Christian lives in enemy territory. Make no doubt about it. We are living in enemy territory. The enemy is out there. Not only are we in the enemy in not only are we in enemy territory, we are at war. We are at war with the enemy. The enemy is determined to destroy every divine purpose in our lives. He wants to destroy us. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The King James Version says, seeking whom he may devour. It's to me that I like that version better because it's not like, well, it's just someone, maybe I'll never get chosen, maybe he'll choose somebody else. But he's looking to whom he may devour. The Young's literal translation says, seeking whom he may swallow up. If you look in Ephesians chapter 6 and at verse 10, there's a heading in my Bible and it says, the armor of God. I believe that there may be a better heading for that, and it would be the believer's armor. For you see, don't misunderstand, when I call it the believer's armor, it is still that God, through the Holy Spirit, provides us with this armor, but the armor is only for believers. It is only for believers. A non-Christian does not have access to it. And why would they? Romans 5:10 says, for while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? So before we became Christians, we were enemies of God. If we were enemies of God, we wouldn't have the armor of God. It wouldn't be available to us. So before we're Christians, we are enemies of God. Jesus said in Luke 11:23, whoever is not with me is against me. So this armor of God is only for believers. Let's now look at our passage for today. It is Ephesians 6 and starting in verse 10. And it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For your struggling is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. With a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Let's pray. Father God, I come to you today. I'm thankful to be in your house, Father. I am thankful that we have this opportunity to come and worship you, to come and break open your word, Father. Your word is the most powerful force in the universe. May you speak to us today through your word, Father. May this not be my words, Father. May they be your words, and for your benefit and for your glory, Father. May they not return void, but may they go out, Father, and change hearts. May your words change our lives today. Father, be with us as we look at your passage, your scripture. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for all that you do. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. You see, the devil is looking to consume. He's looking to consume us. Not that Satan can or will actually take our lives, but he's looking to destroy us or to consume us. He's looking at to making us, to attack us and to leave us impotent. That is, powerless, weak, helpless, incapable, ineffective as Christians. You see, if Satan can leave us powerless, then he really doesn't have to worry about us any further. If he's got us where he wants us, if he's got us where we're powerless, we're ineffective, he really doesn't have to worry about us any longer. He's got us where he wants us. You see, if Satan can leave us powerless, then he really doesn't have to worry about us any further. And how will he do that? He will shoot his flaming arrows at us that are temptations. And if we are not equipped, we are more likely to fall to those temptations. That's why we must be equipped. The good news, though, is that Jesus has won the war. Jesus has won the war. Victory is ours by the resurrection of Jesus. The war has been won. But there are still those battles, those skirmishes that we will face in our lifetime. It is in the strength of the resurrected Jesus that we will get our strength in these times of battle. I want to ask you a question. This passage that we just read, Ephesians, well, all of Ephesians, who was Paul writing this letter to? This was a letter. Who was he writing it to? More than just to the Ephesians. He was writing it to the church at Ephesus. Now, we as individuals make up the church, but he's writing this message to the church. So I believe that it is good for the church, it is good for us as individuals, and we must take heed in that it is also for the church. I believe that whenever any of the epistles, any of the letters to the churches are effective for us today. In Hebrews 4:12, it says that the Word of God is living and active. I believe that the Word, the Scripture is active today, and those letters that Paul wrote to the churches is active for us. It is meant for us today, and we should take heed to it. It is a letter to us. It is not just written to just the church. It is written, I believe, it is written to South Georgia Baptist Church. It is a letter that is written to us. You know, I've heard several people in this church say that they feel God is moving in this church. And I think that too. I feel God is moving in our church. Look at what all we're doing. We are a church on mission. We are praying and seeking the will of God to plant a new church in the Tradewinds territory or in the Tradewinds neighborhood. We're looking at planting a church. We're looking at the mission trips that we've been on this year alone. We are a church that is on mission. And as I said before, every church is in enemy territory. What makes us think Satan will not do his best to attack this church? Do we think Satan is just going to sit on his heels as this church is moving in the direction God would have us to move, and Satan is just going to sit on his heels and say nothing? I don't think so. I'm issuing a warning. We as individuals, we as a church, we need to be equipped. We need to be equipped. Going back and looking at Ephesians 6, verse 10. And it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take stand against the evil schemes. Our strength is in the Lord, not in our own abilities. God's power is invincible. In Paul's writing, he says, put on the full armor of God. And that word put on in the Greek means to put on once and for all. We put it on, we never take it off. We are to put it on when we become Christians. We are to put on that armor, and we are to keep that armor on until we see Jesus again. When will the enemy attack? When we're most vulnerable. When we're weak, helpless, and powerless. You know, as the lioness seeks what she may devour, what is she looking for? She's looking for the weakest animal. She's looking for one that is more vulnerable, for the one that looks most helpless. And then she will attack. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. In the New King James Version, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. I like that version better because it tells us a little bit more about what Paul is referring to here. Because he's talking about a wrestling match that would have happened in the day of Paul, in the day of the Roman Empire. And what would have happened there would have been two combatants that were wrestling. And this would not have been just a match that would have been for to see which opponent could pin the shoulders of his opponent to the mat. It was more than that. You see, it was what the object of the battle was, what the object of the wrestling match was for one opponent to grab the other opponent by the neck, take him to the ground, and the victor would live, but the opponent would die. See, that's what Satan wants to do to us. Maybe again, not to take our lives, but to make it where we can never fight again. He does that through temptations. He does that through attacking our weak points. But you see, the battle is not ours. If the battle was against flesh and blood, we could fight it. But it's not. We saw it's against the spirits, it's against the heavenly realms. In 1 Samuel 17:47, it says, the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. Let him fight it. He knows what he's doing. He knows the enemy. He knows how to win in that battle. The enemy is a formidable opponent. Don't misunderstand. I said that Satan was a formidable opponent. I did not say that he's all-powerful. Our God is. Our God is all-powerful. Ephesians 6, 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. You see, the dependence upon God's power and the obedience to put on the available armor is the only resource the believer needs. It's all we need. God has provided everything we need if we put on the full armor of God. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes. I want you to see that. Do you see that? It says, so that when the day of evil comes. It doesn't say if the day of evil comes. It says when the day of evil comes. And I submit to you that the day of evil will come for every one of us that are a believer. It will come. The day of evil will come. When is the day of evil? Well, it was yesterday, it's today, it's tomorrow, it's the next day. It's every day until Satan is bound and thrown into the lake of fire that the day of evil is today. It is today that Satan can attack. And the day of evil will come. Warning, I don't think that any of us are immune from Satan's attack. As we, as believers, are on a collision course with the forces of hell. And I believe that we, as a church, are on a collision course with Satan. We must have on the full armor of God. Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, we are to stand. Believers are to stand firm against the schemes of Satan because we have the power of the Lord and we've put on the armor of God. We're told to stand firm. Watch this. We're told to stand firm. We're not told to attack. The Christian is never told to attack Satan. We are told to stand firm and he will flee. The armor is for defensive purposes only. Again, the battle is not ours. The battle belongs to God. We are to stand our ground. We are not to retreat. As a Christian, we should never feel that we are losing the battle to the enemy. God has given us in Jesus the resource for victory. As a Christian, we should never feel that we're losing the battle to the enemy. I'll guarantee you, I felt that I was losing the battle. I have felt that I was losing the battle to the enemy. I don't know about you, but I have felt that way. But I know and I believe that God has given us Jesus as the resource to our victory. It is in the gospel of Jesus that we have victory. Ephesians 6:14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. In the New King James Version, it says, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth. What this part of the scripture is about. Back in the day that Paul wrote this, the clothing that people would wear would be one piece of clothing. It could have been like 3 feet wide, and it could have been something like 10 feet long, and you cut a hole in the middle of it, and you put your head there, and it drapes down on you. Then you put a belt on, and it kind of pulls it together. So what it says to gird yourselves up. What it would mean, it was so you would have four corners. You'd have a corner here, and then two corners in back. You would take those corners, you would pull them up, and you would put them in your belt. He told the Israelites in Exodus, before the Passover, at the Passover, he said, gird your loins, pull your clothing up, tuck it into your belt, so that when the death angel passes it over and Pharaoh tells you to leave, you will be ready to leave and you won't be tangled up in your clothing. It is the same way for us. We are to gird up. We are to gird up in truth. We are not to accept the lies of the world, the lies of Satan, and get tangled up in those lies. Ephesians 6:14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. So what is the breastplate of righteousness? It is our Christian walk. It is that walk that we have from the time that we become a Christian until we meet Jesus again. We are to have that breastplate of righteousness. We are to live the Christian life. In Romans 13, 12 through 14, it says, the night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies, not in drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery. We may think, well, we've kind of got that covered. We're pretty good so far. But watch this. Not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the sinful nature. We are to live a Christian life. We are to clothe ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6:15 says, and with your feet, with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Ephesians 6:14 says to stand firm. How can we stand firm without the proper footwear? You know, I did a little looking the other night about combat footwear and how it's changed over the past several years since the Civil War, that the footwear has changed. Back in the day, I don't know what day this was, but back in the day, they actually made boots for soldiers, and they only came in four sizes. So if you had a big foot, you had to go out and buy your own boots. Not only that, there was not a right and a left. They were just a boot. They were both the same. And so it didn't matter what foot you put them on, although I would imagine once you kind of got them broke into one side, that's what you would do. But how much footwear has changed over the course of the U.S. military, and how much research has gone in to footwear. It is important that we have on the right footwear. The Roman soldier, although they were probably some type of a sandal, had a sole that was probably 3/4 to an inch thick. And they would have spikes on the bottom of them so that they were like cleats for the athlete, that when they stood, they could stand firm. And the bottom of their feet were protected. We, especially us guys that are getting older, we know what it's like when our feet hurt. When our feet hurt, we can't do battle very well. So it's important that we have on the right footwear, that is the gospel. Stand firm with the proper footwear. Therefore, to stand firm, we are to stand firm. It is the gospel of peace. I want to move ahead. I want to get to a part that I think is so important. And that is to Ephesians 6:16 through 17. And it says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take up the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith. Well, this soldier that Paul is talking about would have two different types of shields. One would be a small shield, maybe a 24-inch diameter that the soldier would wear on his arm when he was in battle, when he was in combat, face-to-face or hand-to-hand combat, he would wear this sword. But that's not the shield that Paul's talking about. The shield Paul's talking about here is a larger shield. It was used for defensive purposes. It was probably 2.5 feet wide and 4.5 feet tall. So if you were behind it, you could protect most of your body. And if you crouched down, you could protect even your feet, your legs and your feet. But that was the type of shield that Paul is talking about. Debbie, would you turn that slide on? See, this is the type of shield I'm talking about. It'd be 2.5. You can see there's a soldier behind each one of those. There's something important that happens here. You see in this picture, you've got the soldier and you've got a shield. And what do they do? What do the soldiers do behind? They put the shield above them. This is called the tortoise formation. And so it looks kind of like a turtle, that they would be covered. And they would be covered, and they all would be covered. These Roman soldiers and these shields were to protect themselves against flaming arrows, against those temptations of Satan. They were made to protect them from the flaming arrows. Now, these shields would be either soaked in water or they would be made of a material that would resist fire. So that if an arrow was coming at you, it would hit the shield and not hit you, and the material of the wood or whatever the shield was made out of would distinguish the arrow, or would cause the arrow to glance off and not hit you. If the arrows are coming to this army here, what do you think they're doing behind those shields? I think they're praying. I think they're praying. And I don't think it matters what God they're praying to. If it was a Roman soldier, they're still praying. And you know something else? I don't think they're just praying for themselves. You see, because with the army and with them all being protected, they're safer. So I think they're praying for each other, that nobody will fall out of that group. They're praying. We have a God, the one living God, and we need to pray to Him. Let me tell you what this is, folks. This is the church. This is the church here. And when we become under attack, that person that feels persecuted, that first person that feels like they are being just overcome with the devil, we need to take them into the middle and protect them and watch over them and pray for them and help lift them up. That's what the church is all about. We need to put them in the middle. This is the church. We need to be praying for each other. We need to be protecting each other. That is the church. That is our role as the church. Got a few verses that I want to share with you. Jesus says in John 15:12 through 13, my command is this, Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. See, I think these guys are willing to lay their lives down for their neighbor. Jesus commands us to love as he has loved us, and Jesus died for us. Are we willing to put our lives on the line for each other? I think Jesus is telling us that when he tells us to love one another, that we are to be willing to put our lives on the line for each other. Are we even willing just to help others stand firm? You see, I think as we look at the armor of God, we ought to be able to say to somebody, hey, are your feet shod? Do you have your shoes on? Do you have the helmet of salvation on? Are you doubting your salvation? How can I help you? How can I pray for you? We need to be praying for each other. We need to be praying for each other that Satan will not attack us. Or if he does, that we are equipped. We are equipped to withstand the onslaught of Satan. Ephesians 4:4 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You see, we are a part of the same body. We are a part of the same body. I need to protect you. You need to protect me. I need to protect whoever. You need to protect somebody over here or over there or the person sitting beside you. And you know what? It may even be that you don't really care for that person. It may be that there's something about that person that just I'm at odds with. I need to be praying for that person. I need to be praying for God's protection on that person, that Satan will not hit a fiery arrow into that person and cause that person to fall into temptation. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as I see the day approaching. All the more as you see the day approaching. You see, the day is approaching. The day is approaching. That day of when Jesus will return, that day is approaching. So I say that we have it. This is even more for us than it was for the people 2,000 years ago. It is more for us as a church, as a people, to be lifting each other up, to encourage each other, to be praying for one another, to be protecting one another. Ephesians 4:11-13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You see, we can't attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ if Satan has us on the run. We need to help each other attain the full measure, the fullness of Christ. We are told to do that. And then I've got one more. Romans 1:11. This is Paul talking to the church in Rome. And he says, I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. You see, we're to encourage one another. I pray today that no one leaves this church, that no one leaves this worship center, that you have not been encouraged by someone. By someone today. It is our duty, it is our job as a church to encourage. We are to encourage each other. We are to encourage each other. I believe we are to protect each other. believer's armor. Are you equipped? Am I equipped? You know, I think there's times that we get lax and we think, I don't need the breastplate anymore. I've got that covered. And then what does Satan do? He looks for the weak spot. As the lioness looked for the weakest in the herd, so Satan looks for the weak spot in us. Today, do you have the believer's armor? Do you have the armor of God? If you're not a believer, you don't have it. Today, that can change, though. If you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian today, and God is drawing at your heart, that can change today. Today can be the day of salvation. You know, I said that we need to be in prayer. The altar is open. The altar is open. You can come and pray. Today is the day of salvation. If you need to give your heart to Jesus, today is the day for that. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, I come to you, and I'm grateful for your word. Father, I would pray that we would be like this Roman soldier, this tortoise formation, Father, that we would bundle up, that we would gather together as a church, and that we would protect each other, that we would pray continuously for each other, that we would watch over people, church members, visitors, whoever is coming into our doors, that we would protect them, oh God. I just pray that we would be that type of church. Oh, Father, I pray that if we're not today, if we don't have that armor that you provide for us, that today that we could receive that through salvation. Father, thank you for salvation. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.